not coming to America.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Toyota's president, Akio Toyoda, says he won't be making the trip to Washington to testify on Capitol Hill later this month. The automaker exec said today he thinks his North America chief is the logical choice to testify in U.S. congressional hearings. Now, this is the third time Toyota's appeared before the press since the recall began. It's just one of the reasons Toyota has been criticized for its handling of the crisis. But as Marketplace automotive reporter Elisa Roth explains, it's partly cultural.
The American way of dealing with a crisis is to deny, deny, deny. And when things go wrong at a company, we expect to hear from the CEO right away. James Lincoln is a finance professor at UC Berkeley's business school.
The U.S. corporation has a tendency to deny that it was its fault.
He says here, admitting fault can leave you open to lawsuits. But in Japan, nobody's worried about getting sued, so companies there delay until they're ready to talk. And few companies are more traditionally Japanese than Toyota.
So I think it is very much a part of the culture to apologize, hang your head low, sorry, we're saying we screwed up, we will do better.
Michael Cusimano is a management professor at MIT's Sloan School. He says Toyota's just not worldly enough to know how to deal with an international PR problem.
Toyota is really still at heart a country bumpkin kind of company.
It may just need to study its own example. There was a big recall of Lexus right after the cars were introduced in the U.S. Toyota pulled out all the stops to make the fix as easy as possible for customers. And until now, it's been the textbook case for how to handle a recall. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. Asian shares soared today after a break for the Lunar New Year holiday. The Nikkei was up nearly 3%. Shares in Hong Kong gained more than 1%. European markets are higher right now. Shares in Paris by 1.5%. Wall Street yesterday, investors looked at positive earnings and sent stocks ahead. The Dow gained more than 1.5%, 169 points, to close at 10,268. Question: are wealthier places really healthier places? Study out today from the University of Wisconsin and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation ranks counties by overall health and by wealth. We asked Marketplace's Gregory Warner at our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia to check it out.
The website ranks counties on health factors like smoking rates, preventable hospitalizations, and how long people live. Patrick Remington is the dean of public health at the University of Wisconsin. He helped write the study.
Everybody can compare the health of where they live to the community next door, to the other counties within their state.
Fun for the whole family. I asked the professor to look up where I live.
Philadelphia ranks dead last in health outcomes.
Philadelphia also has the worst socioeconomic ranking in the state. Meanwhile, 25 miles away is the state's healthiest county. Its commissioner, Terrence Farrell, answers my how are you like this.
I'm healthy. How are you?
Farrell says Chester County is also the state's wealthiest. Professor Remington's research confirms that a community's health is a function of wealth. Economic status is even more important than access to care, mostly because poverty is associated with lots of unhealthy behaviors. But if you're choosing between towns that do have similar income levels,
some places make it much easier to live a healthy lifestyle.
Choose the one with the bike path. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And by the way, you can check out the full study at countyhealthrankings.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. By Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services. And by the new Harvard Business Review, a source of smart thinking for today's business world. The revival of smart begins at HBR.org.
There are some new signs luring customers into fast food restaurants across L.A. these days. No, they're not glossy close-ups of half-pound beef patties. They are plain white and blue signs saying, now accepting EBT. That's shorthand for food stamps. Reporter Vanessa Romo has more.
Things weren't always so dire for Maria Ochoa.
She once owned a beauty salon, a house, and a gold Lexus. But now she's at El Pollo Loco eating her one hot meal of the day.
I always eat cold food, but I'm tired because sometimes we want some hot meal. And now that I know that they get EBT, I come here and eat a hot meal.
EBT stands for Electronic Benefits Transfer. It's a debit card for food stamps. Ochoa, a woman in her 50s with red permed hair and polished nails, is now living in that gold Lexus. 6 months ago, she would have been hard-pressed to find a restaurant that takes food stamps. Now, El Pollo Loco, Domino's, and Jack in the Box are part of L.A. County's Restaurant Meals program. Lydia Urvidi oversees the program, which includes more than 500 restaurants.
Our goal is to provide healthy meals for the homeless, disabled, and elderly participants, especially the homeless, because they don't have a place to store food or cook.
Restaurant Meals is also paying off for those on the cooking end. Joe Stein is the head of strategy and innovation for El Pollo Loco.
I can tell you for 2010, just the way it's trending, we wouldn't be surprised if, you know, for company and franchise stores was over $2 million. From something that just started in August of 2009, that's pretty good-sized growth.
Good enough to interest other chains in joining the program, like Pizza Hut and Burger King. But food stamps still won't get you a Big Mac or Chicken McNuggets. Not yet, anyway. That's okay with Maria Ochoa.
With my blood pressure and my diabetic, I cannot eat too much salt and greasy food. That's what I prefer to come here.
For now, she's sticking with the grilled chicken. In Los Angeles, I'm Vanessa Romo for Marketplace.
And finally, Indonesia is very serious about cracking down on defamation. A teenager was handed down a suspended jail sentence for posting insulting comments on Facebook. The 18-year-old was convicted of defaming her social networking friend, calling her a pig and a dog. She told the Jakarta Post, "I'll be more careful about what comments I post." By the way, the argument was over a boy. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.